inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for joining me on this Tuesday, coming to you live from the Patriot Academy campus. I'm sitting in the William Wilberforce Committee Room. Yes, we name all of our committees after great patriots in history. Of course, Wilberforce, I can't believe we're doing it, but we got an Englishman on the wall. I know it's weird for we Texans especially. We've even got George Whitfield committee in here and Dietrich Bonhoeffer. So the other three are, of course, great Americans like Ronald Reagan and John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg. And I'm blanking on the sixth one. Oh, Abraham Lincoln. How could I forget Abraham Lincoln? Anyway, great committees, but that's where I'm at today. We had a wonderful week last week here at the campus. 100 people came in from all over the nation and participated in a legislative simulation that was a convention of states. So an Article 5 convention of states, which we talk about a lot here on the program. It's the process the founders put in place, thanks to George Mason and Elbridge Gerry at the last minute at the Constitutional Convention, to give us the ability to overrule the federal government. And so we literally did one. Now, it wasn't an official one, but it was a simulation, and it was really cool. Other than the fact that I had to serve as the presiding officer because a friend of mine that was going to do that couldn't make it. So you can imagine the benevolent dictator that I was. Yes, I was benevolent, but I was quite the dictator. They should have never given me the gavel, and they've been trying to take it back ever since. All right, so anyway, back at the campus this week for a constitutional defense course. Got a lot of friends here from across the nation learning to defend themselves. And one of those friends from the great state of Alabama, where my mama's from, right there in Mobile, is Jaden Hurd. Jaden, glad you're here with me, man. Thanks for coming on the program.
Such an honor to join you, bro. I appreciate it.
This guy, you're only 22?
22.
22. That's already me. God's given him so much wisdom. We stayed up around the fire last night till I don't know how late, talking theology and life, world, geopolitical solutions. I think we got everything solved pretty much. Everybody can just go home and
I mean, I think we're good.
We're good. It's all done.
It's all good.
It's all
we
done.
Got it.
All right, you came in from Alabama, so you're at Auburn right now or you're done? You're finished?
Just finished school at Auburn.
Yeah.
I'm still living in Auburn, but I love Auburn, so I may be there for a little bit longer.
This guy, I'm telling y'all, you got to not Google. You got to duck, go this guy. And you will get to see him doing street preaching. Incredible. He's got, now what do you call your show? I've watched several of them and I can't remember now, but something I heard.
It's called Let It Be Heard.
Let It Be Heard. Yes. So his last name is Heard. Get it? And last night I found out your first name, Jaden, means what?
It means God has heard.
God has
in
heard.
In Hebrew, yeah.
And your parents didn't know.
Nobody knew.
Yeah. Wow.
And then we obviously talked about Romans 10:14, where it talked about how, you send out a preacher, how shall they hear unless someone is preaching? How someone will preach unless they're sent? And then God called me to be a street preacher, and then he showed me that verse, and yeah.
It's so incredible,
Yeah.
God plans these things and puts these things in motion. It's absolutely remarkable. But not only, so you do the street preaching, and then with your show, you talk about conservatism, you talk about principles of liberty, you talk about a biblical perspective on these things, all at 22 years old. And here's the kicker. This is part of why I wanted to have you on the show. Just came to the Lord how long ago?
Less than 2 years ago.
Less than 2 years ago.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't mean this as an insult, but still, baby Christian. And yet, the scripture comes out of you like hardly anybody I've ever known. I mean, it's just like you're on fire for the Lord. And so much of it he's already put on your heart and in your mind. You've already memorized so much scripture. Were you a student of the Bible before, or did you really just start studying 2 years ago?
Yeah, I had no concept of Christianity, didn't care at all, lived my life like I was my own God. And 2 years ago, I gave my life to the Lord, and I just had a heart for scripture. And that's, street preaching definitely helps you memorize it. I'll be honest, I kind of have a cheat code, Like, if you say the same thing over and over again for, hours, you're going to remember it. It kind of comes that way. It's not like I'm always all day reading the Bible. It doesn't really come like that. It comes more like applying it to my life. I think it's a lot. People learn a lot better just living it instead of just repeat, reading it all day.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So, right. Yeah. Well, you just revealed my cheat code too. For 40 years, you know, well, 35 years, driving down the road, repeating a Founding Fathers quote over and over and over again so that I can spout it in front of people and they think I'm smart and I'm really not. I just memorized all these quotes. And so, yeah, listening to David Barton in my truck and then turning around and saying it over and over and over and over and over again. But, you know, hey, repetition is the mother of all learning, so it's a good way to go. But let's talk about your conversion. And so, I mean, what was the trigger for you, you know, that made you really start looking seriously at you know, I want to do something different with my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, it actually all started in 2020, even though I didn't get saved until 2022.
Yeah.
In 2020, it was COVID, right? And it was pretty much the height of COVID. And I was just in my room all day, and I got into these YouTube rabbit holes, right? So I just was stuck in my room all day. So I would watch videos on conservatism and Christianity, and I just came across it. But before I was like an atheist and I was a liberal, right?
Wow.
You raised up black, right? So naturally your family votes Democrat and they still do to this day. Even though, you know, I'm trying to get them over.
Yeah.
But anyway, so naturally just raised that way. And so when I came across these videos of like Charlie Kirk, Candace Owens, Ben Shapiro, Steven Crowder, all these mainline speakers that everybody kind of knows of in this movement, I had never heard of these people. And so I heard these arguments and I was like, man, these people are making a lot of sense. And slowly I started to change my mind on that. But once I really got into the conservative movement, there's a big cultural kind of aspect where it's like kind of expected if you're a conservative, you're a Christian, right? And I was just like, why do y'all really care about this Christianity stuff? And so
you first were drawn to the conservatism.
Correct.
And the logical arguments of these YouTubers and podcasters. And as you were listening to that, you're starting to say, okay, those are principles I could agree with.
Right.
But then you started noticing everybody spouting the same faith.
Right, because ultimately those principles, Rick, have to come from somewhere.
Amen, brother.
Right?
Yes.
And so I didn't realize that until I started. I actually found some apologetic videos from like Frank Turek.
Frank's spoken at Patriot Academy. Yeah. I love Frank. Yes.
Yeah, and Frank and I actually text now.
Do you really?
Kind of looking back on it. Like
cross-examined, right, is what he calls it still.
Cross-examined, yes. And he came to speak at Auburn.
He's
great. Yeah.
Yeah.
William Lane Craig, I watched a lot of his stuff, his debates with atheists, and obviously a lot of Ken Ham stuff, and Ray Comfort, a lot of those guys.
Oh, I love Ray too, man.
Yeah, so I came across, that was like what I...
And Ken, I just had Ken on the other day. Just an update about, you know, the Ark Encounter. Have you been out there yet?
Dude, Ark Encounter is amazing.
Oh, it's unreal.
It's amazing.
It's first class. I mean, he did it right. And we actually filmed our Comedy and Constitution with Brad Stein and the kids and me at the Ark Encounters, not amphitheater, their big theater that they had just built. It. We were the first event they had there.
Really?
And so the DVD that we have of that is there at the Ark Encounter. But the Creation Museum, Ark Encounter, cool stuff. So anyway, though, you were talking about Ken Ham. You were watching Ken Ham and Ray Comfort.
Right. And so I was understanding the logical reasons of the follow God. Like, okay, the impossibility of atheism is ultimately what brought me to Christianity, is what I like to say.
Interesting.
And so ultimately, intellectually,
I became
really
what
Christian.
Frank always says, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. That probably really rang a bell with
that,
you.
When he said that, I was like, whew. Like, I had never heard that before. And like, that this is just all new to me, right?
Oh, that's awesome.
And so, boom, right? I became an intellectual Christian, but I was still living for the world. I wasn't living for Jesus like I should have. But ultimately, you know, the good news is that, you know, Jesus really seeks after, you know, he seeks after the lost sheep. And so ultimately, I kind of came to the end of myself, like Paul did in Romans 7. I was like, I need to stop living this way. And actually, God actually rebuked me through a street preacher.
Huh.
So that
at school? Was it at Auburn?
Yeah, he came on campus. There was like hundreds of students surrounding him. And he spoke a word, and that word was for me. That was for me, 100%. I went home. And I thought about what he said. I actually started watching his YouTube channel because I was actually a journalist at the time, and he had got kicked off campus, and I was going to do a whole story on it with this media called Campus Reform with Leadership Institute in D.C.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so that's how I actually
I was your
up,
age when I went to Leadership Institute. My goodness. Yeah.
Leadership Institute, they're great as well. But, yeah, so anyway, I got his contact information. I just started watching his videos, and I was like, man, like that makes a lot of sense. So I started reading my Bible, and I was like, man, I got to get right because, you know, this stuff has to be true, and I'm not living like it is true.
Mm.
And so that's when I kind of just got on my knees that night and just cried out to the Lord, and he saw
praise
me.
God.
You know, so yeah, that's my testimony.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people that right now, there's a lot of people that have kind of checked out and given up on culture, given up on God moving in America, and
your story is just like, it's just like a bright light of, hey, this is happening. And he's calling people all over the country. He's bringing people to the forefront of this culture war that we're in that we didn't even expect to fight for us. I mean, who would have thought in COVID that Joe Rogan would be the guy to help save America, or Elon Musk, or, you know, it's like, it's incredible. And you came from a Democrat, you know, atheist background, and in such a short period of time, that's part of what blows me away, in such a short period of time, not only came to the Lord, not only started being drawn to the principles of liberty that are biblical, but started advocating for them and learning how to articulate them, and now go out and do street preaching and take on in all these debate type situations that you're in 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, it was pretty radical change. I mean,
I guess 4 years total, if COVID was when you started going down the rabbit hole, but still,
right,
yeah. Salvation in 2 years, and yeah.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, so, I mean, I do believe the Holy Spirit started working on me in around 2020-ish, but when I really just said, I can't, like, I have to, like, literally there's no chance that this stuff is not real and that, you know, I can't deny my experiences. I had to give my life to Jesus, man. You know, it is what it is, so.
I had to
drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. I love it. So a couple minutes before we go to break out of this first segment, but do you remember what were some of the pivotal kind of aha moments when you went down that rabbit hole and some of the arguments or issues or whatever it was that you remember most?
For conservatism?
Yeah, they kind of started catching your attention.
Oh, man. I remember I used to watch a lot of the Change My Mind
stuff.
Yeah,
from Crowder.
And just, I would disagree with him, actually, but then another person would start talking, and I was like, that sounds stupid, too. And so then he would respond to that, and I was like, well, no, that's not that stupid. And so then I started changing my mind slowly. It wasn't very big. Now, I did have some big moments while I was converting. So I actually remember Biden saying some crazy stuff, like, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black, stuff like that. And I posted on my story, and I was like, this is not
acceptable. You're the first black person I've ever asked about that. How did that make you feel when he said
that? Okay, no, literally, okay, look. I personally was very offended. I was like, who says that,
right,
first of all?
That's what I would think.
Yeah. But my friends who were also black and liberal, they chose to be willfully ignorant of it. It's whatever. I'm like, imagine if Trump said that. So when I posted it on I had Snapchat at the time. When I had posted it on my Snapchat story, I had all these people DMing me like, no, like, if you don't vote for Biden, bro, like Trump's gonna, like, send us back to, like, these people actually believe this. And I was like, wow. Are y'all crazy? Like, okay, yeah, I thought the man was racist at the time too, but I hadn't heard about the arguments yet for Trump and what he did for the black community, the First Step Act and all that stuff, right? But at that time, I'm like, bro, y'all are just compromising everything that we grew up to be just to vote for this Biden guy, and you're mad at me because I'm trying to hold this guy accountable. And so I'd have little moments like that where people would try to say, oh, you're not actually black or stuff, like legitimately stuff that, like, they would say that to me, and I was still a Democrat. And so I like to say I got pushed to the right, you know, because if you don't conform to everything that they believe, you know.
So even they're over the top, almost cultish, like sellout to the movement and compromise, that helped push you the direction what's wrong with y'all? Y'all aren't thinking.
Y'all are tripping. And it's people that I grew up with that I thought had some common sense. I'm like, look, the man, Biden clearly is saying some messed up stuff.
Did you find any of the guys, like, at that time, did you discover Brandon Tatum or, you know, Alan West or any of the other, what was that movie
Thomas
that,
Sowell,
yeah. Well, Thomas Sowell for sure. But there was a movie that came out, I think Tatum might have made it. No, Tatum didn't make it. It was Larry Elder made it. And it was all these black conservatives. And I remember Tatum saying it was like when he first heard Thomas Sowell, he says this in this interview. He says, it was like I'd gone to a funeral of my great-great-grandfather and found out I had all these relatives that were black and conservative and successful and, well, you know, and it just totally changed. And so Soul became his favorite at that. Anyway, it's a great movie, and I'm blanking on the name of it. But when we come back, speak to that. Like, were there black conservatives that you were like, okay, now it is okay? Yeah, like, these are some guys that went through the same thing I'm going through.
Right.
Their family also, you know, stayed Democrat or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm really curious about that part. Actually, you got about 30 seconds. Go ahead. You can just touch on
definitely
that.
Definitely Candace Owens initially was like the one I found.
Yeah.
I didn't know that there were any black conservatives except for, I mean, other the media put out like a bunch of people apparently went to the White House to see Trump.
Oh, I remember that.
And I was like, what are these?
Who are these people?
Who are these race traitors? Yeah. That's literally what I remember saying. I was like,
all right, hang on. We're going to hit that when we come back. Stay with us, folks. Jaden Hurd, my special guest. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You're listening to At the Core.
You know, there are many ways we can impact the world around us. Some are more direct, like helping our neighbors and serving in our churches. Other ways are broad, like becoming community leaders or supporting missions. Of course, taking care of our families is a given. If there was a way to impact all of those at once, would you be interested? The AFA Foundation is a great way to touch your family, your neighbors, and even complete strangers all over the country. You may not realize it, but you can support AFA with a charitable gift annuity, a trust, your will, or a charitable rollover. We realize not everyone knows what those are or how to set them up, but that's okay. Many of your questions can be answered on our website, afafoundation.net. Find answers and resources to help you make an informed decision, and if your decision is to move forward, you can get in touch with Riley, Chelsea, or Jessica to start setting up your legacy. Touch more lives than you imagined possible when you visit afafoundation.net today.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me today. Jayden Hurd is in the house. We're talking about his testimony. We're talking about what's going on in the world today, or at least we'll get to some of those things. But as we went to the break, you were just starting to talk about some of these guys like Tatum, and you said Candace Owens was the first one that you saw, and you're like, okay, great, somebody that has a similar experience.
Yeah, I saw her with Charlie Kirk, a lot of the stuff that she did, and then obviously I started moving through them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't see any initially, like, that much, and so that's where, when I started to see the Tatums, I started to see the Dinesh D'Souza's, even though he's not necessarily black, but minorities.
He's bronze.
Yeah, he's bronze. Yeah,
my buddy Chris Dunham is, he's our going to be our Patriot Institute Dean and Provost here, and he's been with me 20 years, and actually married my oldest son, and was there when I proposed to my wife. So we've been together a long time. Anyway, he's from India as well, and that's what I always tell him. I have my black friends, I have my Hispanic friends that are brown, I have my white friends, and then I have my bronze friends from India. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I found them, and they definitely, like, helped me, you know, push myself over the edge. Like, okay, like, there's other people like this as well. I'm not the only one. Let's do it.
Uncle Tom was the name of the movie. What? Uncle Tom by Larry Elder.
Yeah.
And it had all those guys in it, and they're telling this story, you know, and it was so powerful, so well done.
Yeah, and like the Walk Away campaign as well. Or obviously, now you have Blexit with Turning Point, which was short for Black Exit, and so that was founded by Officer Tatum and Candace Owens. That's all really good stuff, and I think the community – when I say community, black community, I think they need more of that. They need more good influences, affirmations like, hey, it's okay to be conservative, which is ironically because the black community is conservative. They're not really with the gay stuff.
Like the black church has always been more solid biblically on these issues, on the sexual issues and a lot of this junk that's come in. And that's why even in California 20 years ago when they had the marriage amendment on the ballot, it was the black church that really turned out and helped to get that done. It's sort of like they get lied to by a lot of these people that have this political agenda, and they think they're getting their values, but they end up voting for the exact opposite. They get the opposite implementation.
That should be the exact framing and talking point, everything you just said, to every single black person. Mm. But sadly, in this country, it feels like we're talking past each other.
Yeah.
Like, literally, when I was arguing with conservatives in high school, none of them said any of that stuff to me. It was always, oh, Trump is just better. Like, you know, that didn't really matter to me if I thought he was racist. That didn't really matter to me if I thought Republicans hate black people. Like, you know, I'm not hearing none of that. You can give me all the facts and whatever. It's not going to matter to people. But when you show people that the real values, the real love, the real, party of tolerance is on the right, that's what people are going to care about. I think you got to speak to the person, not to the voter. If that makes sense.
No, you know totally. I mean? I'm assuming you've already learned all this. If not, I got a great video for you that we did at Wall Builders 20 years ago that tells the real history of the parties and how the Republican platform in 1856, 7 of the 9 planks were about getting rid of slavery and equal rights. And then in 1860, it was 11 of the 13 planks getting rid of slavery. The Democrats have always been the racist party. They were the ones that wanted slavery. They did the Jim Crow laws. They did all that stuff. And most of the black community doesn't know that, right? They think the Republicans are the racists. They think Republicans were the ones that did slavery. They have no idea what the history of the party that they're voting for actually did. David Barton used to go around and give this presentation in black churches, and the pastor would always, before he could even finish the presentation,
would come up and take the microphone and say, we're never going to be a doormat for a party again. It was like a revival in these churches because the truth was finally given. And then all of a sudden they're going, we're never going to follow that again.
Right. I think I think one of the early videos I saw as well was from PragerU. They give out like these 5-minute short videos.
Oh, I love them. Yeah.
One of them was the parties never switched.
Yes.
And that, when I watched that, and it was also, Dr. King's granddaughter,
Alveda King.
Alveda King. Yeah,
she's in one of our shows.
She did that video. I was like, this is a king?
Yeah.
And she's explaining how even back in the civil rights movement, like the Democrats were responsible for this. And I didn't know none of that.
Yeah.
I didn't know none of that.
MLK was a Republican.
I know.
Yeah.
And Malcolm X literally said the worst thing that's ever happened to the black community is a white liberal. Like, yeah. And I never knew that.
Amen.
Or I'm not endorsing Malcolm X or MLK or anything. But what I am saying is, The people who are pro-black, our leaders, you know, they've kind of betrayed what ultimately, like, we stood for, you know.
Oh. MLK's so, spinning in his grave right now because the whole, think about it. Content of the character, not color of the skin,
right,
was the whole movement, right? Yeah. That's what it was based on, equal rights. We're gonna look at each other the same, not based on color of skin, but human beings, based on your behavior. What do you do? And now they've thrown all that away. Now it's no. If you're not, if you're white, you're a racist. Right. You're a white supremacist, no matter what. And if you're black, you're a victim, no matter what. I'm going, what happened? Right. What happened to the truth and the movement that changed the world?
I think ultimately, it all comes down to sin. You know, I watched this video from Answers in Genesis.
Yeah.
About all this, and you know, it's funny because. We all are actually one race, you know.
Yes.
The Bible says, like, from one man, like, he made every nation, right? The blood of one man, right? And so we all are descendants of Adam or Noah. And so we're all, like, cousins, like you know, Cameron and I were talking about, like, a while ago. And so,
the first person was that told me that?
Who?
Alveda King.
No way.
We're sitting in the church, in Ebenezer Baptist Church, where they all grew up.
Right.
Where MLK preached his first sermon, her dad, A.D. King, the Sons of Thunder, you know. They were like, they were incredible. And,
wow.
And she's telling us the stories about their home being bombed, and it's just amazing. And Cameron was, Cameron's in studio, I can ask her. Cameron, were you like 14 when we did that? So she's like 14. Rhett, her younger brother's, you know, I guess 12 at the time. And then Trey and Reagan, like 16 and 18. They're all sitting there, right there on the front pew. And obviously, you know, my kids are pretty lily white. And Alveda looks at them and goes, you know, we're the same race.
Wow.
And they're looking at her, and I'm like, what's she talking about? And she goes, we're all the same race.
Yeah.
She said, I got black brothers and sisters. I got white brothers and sisters. I got red brothers and sisters. We're all part of the human race. And all of us, it was like epiphany moment there. It really changed. And I would tell that story about her telling us that. And what was crazy was sometimes I'd tell that in an arena with 10,000 people there, with probably 40% black in the audience, and sometimes they would actually hear me say the opposite of what I said, right? Like, and they would think that I was actually saying we should be racist or we should be. It was weird. It was like the paradigms, right? Because they've been told so long those things, even though it was Alveda, and I literally had the picture on the wall of Alveda standing there telling us those things. We got to see Cameron. I got to see her 2 weeks ago at the Moms for Liberty Summit in D.C. And
cool.
Cameron hadn't seen her in 10 years.
Yeah.
And it was so cool, man. She's 74 now.
Yeah.
She's a spry. I mean, she was singing on stage, and just, it was all. Anyway,
I have an Alveda King story too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to say that real quick. So I'm actually I was a student spokesperson for Students for Life National, and we had the pro life.
Is that Kristen Hawkins?
Kristen Hawkins,
all
the
organization.
Yeah. So I was a student spokesperson, but I was in charge of for the event, the big pro life summit they had. Alveda King was one of their primary speakers, and so I was actually in charge of being her escort from the backstage to the stage, and it's like it's kind of a long walk actually, and she's just like, can I hold on to your arm, young man? And I was like, yes. And she just starts talking to me about the Bible and she's telling me she doesn't even know me, right? She doesn't even know my name. She's like, young man, just make sure you're staying grounded in the Lord.
Oh,
and she's just
goodness.
So sweet.
That is
and
awesome.
Then we took a picture afterwards, and then she went on stage and sang Amazing Grace, like in the middle of her speech. And I'm just this woman is so precious,
you.
Bro.
You know what, man? I really, after we did that episode, the episode was basically we did history mysteries, so we go investigate something in history, and somebody had said something about MLK being a communist, and I was like, I don't think that's right. So we went and investigated it, and that's how we got the interview with her. And when that thing was over, I was absolutely convinced. I was like, there is no way that a family could deal with the persecution and the violence and respond peacefully the way that they did without supernatural interference, right? Yeah. There had to be. And you feel it on her. I mean, when you're around, what you just described, that's exact. Every time we're around her, and we've only been around her, you know, 3 or 4 times, but every time it's just like, I want more of that, man.
Yeah.
I want some of that.
Yeah, yeah. No, real. So, and so back to what we were talking about, which, so the one race.
You do better staying on topic than
Yeah, my bad. usually I don't, actually. Yeah. I'm like, on my show, I go off on tangents like Paul. So,
but by the way, how do they find your show? I want to tell them a couple times throughout today.
Yes, Let It Be Heard on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music, wherever you listen to your podcast. So yeah, I also have I have like 90 episodes on Rumble as well, but those are I'm not uploading on Rumble anymore. But yeah, so if you want to find me on those,
Let It Be Heard,
Let It Be Heard, yes, all right, sir.
And so I'm sorry, I interrupted you again.
And so anyway, I watched this video from Ken Ham's Insurgenesis, and it just made so much sense how, you know, even in science, like you have you have a dominant trait and you have a recessive trait, but the only way that you can receive a trait is for those two. Right, those are your two options. And so, for example, the only way I'm going to be mixed is if there's some black and there's some white. The only way that I'm going to be brown is if some you know, whatever. And so it is commonly believed amongst a lot of these people that Adam and Eve and Noah's family had all these traits.
They had to
because where else would all the races come from? And so and then he explained how do you have people that look Asian and have people that look Mexican and stuff like that. Well, now you have to go back to the Tower of Babel where they all dispersed amongst the nations. And when you are only reproducing with certain people, you're only going to have that same.
You get more of that trait.
You're only going to get that same trait.
It becomes more dominant.
And so now you look more like that.
Yeah.
But ultimately, we still go back to the same people.
Yeah.
And so when they broke it down that way, I was like,
light bulb.
Wow.
Boom.
Yeah. So I was like, there's no way you can be like, oh, white people hate black people. There's no such thing as white people and black people. We're just all brown.
Oh, that's so good. That's what Brad Stein the other day, we were doing one of our shows, and he says, wait a minute. He says, if you see a white person, like a actual white person, run. That's it. They're dead. Yeah. There's no such thing as a white. I'm beige. I'm cream color.
Well, like your hair is whiter than you.
True.
And
my
hair's gray.
My skin.
So
I love it.
You know,
how do other black students respond to you whenever you start talking about all this stuff?
So it depends on who, but like the people that knew me in high school were very curious, very receptive, very understanding, right? Because they grew up with me. They know me, right? A lot of people see me on social media in my age and see me around in my university that I went to, like the black student unions. I actually got kicked out of the black student union when I...
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. anyway, but those people, man, they will call you. They don't even know me, but they'll comment on my Instagram. They'll DM me stuff and call me all types of names and whatever. I'm just like, man, you don't even know me, bro.
Right.
Like, and whatever. So... But yeah, I have a story. One time we had a protest on our campus protesting them mandating the vaccines for the employees and the staff, right? Yeah. And so we all protested it. And my sign, have you ever heard of the Tuskegee syphilis study?
Yes. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So we actually, I had a sign that said.
This is why initially the black community was the most.
They still
opposed
are.
To,
they still they? Are. Yeah, yeah. They're the least likely race to take the vaccine. That was my whole point with the sign that I had. The sign said Tuskegee study, and I crossed out Tuskegee, and I put Auburn study. Right?
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
I thought it was a good idea.
No, that's good.
Tuskegee did not appreciate that because they're like, no, you don't know your history. You don't understand the civil. I'm like, I'm on your side.
Is Tuskegee taken now? Is it left? Is it?
Oh, it's HBCU. All HBCUs are cooked, man. Yeah. Like, yeah, no, like it's full of woke nonsense.
No, go ahead. We got to finish this story. Remind me to tell you something about Tuskegee.
So anyway, I took a picture and we're doing the protest and we posted online. Everything goes good. Well, I wake up and I got like, I only had at the time like 4,000 followers. Like 600 comments on my post of just straight like people calling me a coon and all this stuff.
Oh,
and
man.
Uncle Tom.
Oreo.
Yeah. That's a very common one. Oreo. Yeah. But
black
on
the outside, white on the inside.
Yeah, panda. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of stuff. But anyway, my favorite one is the house slave and stuff like that. You know, I don't have to spend time in the field.
I just watched last night on Twitter, Thomas Sowell 40 years ago. And somebody, because there was a rumor that he was going to go into the Reagan administration.
Yeah.
And so this reporter is telling him, saying, somebody says that you're the House.
You're the House, yeah.
And he, and I'd never heard Thomas Sowell cuss, but he's cussing in the response.
Right.
Saying, you know, that is such, you know, I mean, he goes off. I'd never seen that clip of Thomas Sowell. Thomas Sowell is one of the greatest Americans ever
lived. I agree.
My son Trey, who's an economics major, or got his degree in economics, that's his favorite economist.
Yes.
He's my second favorite. Milton Friedman is my favorite.
Great.
Who taught Sowell. Right?
How do you feel about Mises?
Ludwig von Mises?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, but I that very clip of him being called that, and it was just, it's the biggest insult. But I was going to tell you, Tuskegee Airmen, the movie that Cuba Gooding's in, I don't know if you ever saw that or not.
I haven't seen it, but I know about the airmen.
I was studying for the bar. And I was like, it was the night before I was going to go take the bar, and I was just brain dead. I was one of these crazy students that I didn't start studying for the bar till 2 weeks before and crammed and didn't sleep but about an hour a night. And so I was done the night before. I was like, okay, I got to decompress. So I'm staying at the hotel where I'm going to go take the bar, and decided to watch a movie. It's Tuskegee Airmen. Halfway through that movie, bro, it was the first time in my life. I was 22. I don't remember. I'm bawling.
Really?
I'm bawling in this hotel room by myself. Because for the first time, I could see through your eyes.
Yeah.
You know, because all my life, I'd just been like, I'm not racist, so nobody else is racist.
Yeah.
Why? I went and I realized, holy cow,
my
life experience and my paradigm is very, 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 very different. It was that was an epiphany movie for me. Anyway, we brought up Tuskegee. That reminded me of that. But anyway, I'm so glad that God puts moments like that in our life. You know, for my kids, it was when we went to, after being with Alveda, then we went over to Birmingham, to the Birmingham Civil Rights Museum.
Oh, that's cool.
It is amazing, man, that whole place. And even Cameron, you know, she didn't know that stuff happened. And they have this scene where this little girl is at the counter having an ice cream with her friends. All the white girls are sitting up there, and this little black girl's over in the corner, not allowed to even socialize with them. She's got a tear running down her face. It's a wax kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Cameron's just literally tearing up, going, I cannot. And she finally could relate. She was like, I see her pain.
I
know what this was like. I think that kind of teaching is so important to be able to comprehend history and understand what other folks are going through. All right,
sure.
We got another break. When we come back, we might take your phone calls. Give us a shout, 888-589-8840. Maybe not. Jaden and I are having too much fun without you, but you're welcome to join the conversation. Your comments, questions, insults, bring them in, 888-589-8840. Jaden Hurd, our special guest. You can listen to his program. Spotify, you said the other ones?
All the podcast apps and YouTube.
Let It Be Heard.
Let It Be Heard, yep.
I love that. Let It Be Heard. That's so good. And if you missed the first segment, Jaden means?
God has heard.
God has heard.
Yeah.
Let It Be Heard. Love it. We'll be right back. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me on this Tuesday. My special guest today in studio is Jaden Hurd. Actually, we're not in studio, which is why you hear a little bit of an echo. We're in the committee room at the Patriot Academy campus in our new legislative hall in the William Wilberforce Committee room, having a great time. Jaden's actually doing the Constitutional Defense course. How are you enjoying that so far, man?
Bro. I'm ready to. You can put me in, bro. I can go to war.
And you hadn't done anything like this before, right?
Never.
Or not a actual training like this.
No, I've shot a gun a few times, but never.
Yeah.
Never this. This is crazy, and I recommend everybody do a CONDEF.
And this is course. Day two. You're halfway through the second day.
Correct.
And so you've were you nervous about it? Like, what was your thinking coming in?
I wouldn't say I was nervous. I was antsy.
Yeah.
Is that a good word? Maybe just like. I don't know. I don't really know what to expect. I don't really know how much more I could really learn. I didn't really know, you know.
How I was. I didn't know what I didn't know.
I didn't know what I didn't know, and that's what they call level one, right? You teach, you know, I don't know if you guys know, they teach to five levels. One of the levels is level one, and that's just, you know, unconscious incompetency or something like that. And so I just didn't know what I didn't know, but now I know what I need to know, so now I'm at level two. So
you start off unconsciously incompetent. You don't know that what you're doing is actually not good.
Right.
And then you become consciously incompetent. You're like, I know I'm not doing this right, but I can't stop it.
Yeah.
And then you become consciously competent. Okay, I'm kind of doing this right, but I'm having to think about it every step of the way.
Right.
And then eventually unconsciously competent. It's the same thing with speaking skills or anything else that you do. You know, you go through each of those phases.
Yeah.
I was laughing when I was thinking about you doing it the first time, because we're gonna have to take this interview, or maybe we'll even do a video on the range and send it over to Dr. Rashad Ritchie. He's one of the Young Turk hosts that I used to go on his show every once in a while. It's been a while. I need to get back
the
on
Young
there.
The Young Turks?
Yeah, it's like a real liberal show. He's an ultra
Are you talking about Ritchie? Yeah, the black guy, right?
Have you been on his show?
No, I haven't.
You should do it, man.
Dude, that guy would eat me up.
Oh, no.
Not that he would beat me in the debate.
He would
but yeah, he's just going to keep talking over me.
It's the lion's den. I mean, it is. You're going to. I love doing that.
Yeah,
right?
So bro, get me on there, bro. I'll go.
I have so much. I miss it. It's been a couple of years since I've been on, or a year anyway. But one time, after we were off the air, I was telling him about the class, and I was like, Dr. Ritchie, you need to come down and do the class, you'd enjoy. Laughed so hard. He's like oh, he used a few expletives, no, and he's like, I'd be the only black person there. He said, do you have any other black people there? I said, of course, yeah, there's, you know, we're mixed, you see everything out there. He's like, no way, man, all you white people down south, I'm not gonna. It was hilarious.
And
was
like, but you know, he's being for real when he says that, though.
No, he really believed it.
And that was my point when I say, when these people actually, we grow up genuinely believing this stuff.
Yeah,
that all white people are racist.
Yeah,
like the South is super bad, which, by the way, I've had more racist experiences outside of the South than in the South.
No,
let
kidding.
Me just say that, even as a liberal, I would have told you that. But yeah,
I told him in the interview some of this had come up, and I said, Dr. Ritchie, I said, you know why Republicans are so adamant about Second Amendment rights, don't you? And he's like, well, so they can oppress, you know, black people, basically.
It's like, bro,
and I said, the opposite. I said, when the KKK was lynching whites and blacks, 25% of the 4,900 lynchings were whites. They were white Republicans. I said, when they were lynching, if you were a black in the South and you didn't have your gun and they caught you, you were dead. So Republicans believe, because all the blacks were Republicans and a lot of the whites were too. But he said, I said, we knew you had to have a right to keep and bear arms, or not just for fun, you were going to die if you didn't. So Republicans are very adamant. It's like in our DNA to want to have the right of self-defense. And it all goes back to the KKK and their lynchings. And even here in Texas, there's so many stories about that. Anyway, he did not want to believe me about that. He was like, I don't know about that. Anyway, I'm going to tell, we're going to have to get on a show together and invite him to come shoot with us.
Oh, I'm down. No, I would love to do that.
I told him I'd do a private class for his staff. I said, y'all just come down. We'll do a private. I said, you'd enjoy it. And anyway. Wow.
That'd be fun, dude. Wow. Make sure you record all that.
I will, but you should do that show. I'm telling you would be great at going into the lion's den on that stuff. Just calm. You have a calm demeanor about the way that you respond to stuff.
Yeah.
So it's
appreciate
good stuff.
It. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, well, let's go to the phones. We got, by the way, phone number 888-589-8840. Jaden Hurd is our guest in studio today. First up is Richard from Arkansas. Go Hogs, go. I know how to call the Hogs, Richard. I could do it, but Jaden's an Auburn grad, so yeah, he might get, you know, a twitch or something.
Yeah, well,
I'm not too happy about what happened this past Saturday, too.
Who won Saturday?
Was Arkansas
beat
Auburn.
Oh, was it Arkansas?
Yeah.
Obviously, I didn't even pay attention. Did Arkansas win?
Arkansas won. They beat up on their tail. Six turnovers total. No, seven
Auburn
turnovers.
Seven?
No, Auburn had five turnovers. Arkansas had two turnovers. You can't win with five turnovers.
Wow. Sorry. I did see one replay on social media of some Auburn dude just knocking the helmet off of this Arkansas player.
Yeah, and then he got injured the next play. The DB did.
The one that had made that hit?
Yeah,
it was one of the best hits I've ever seen. Richard, I'm so sorry, man. We got off on football, and you had a comment, question, or insult. Go for it, man.
No, I'm quite all right with Arkansas beating Auburn. Doesn't bother
you're
me
enjoying
bit.
That, huh? Hey, what part of Arkansas are you in?
I live up in the northwest corner of Arkansas, Walmart World.
Yeah. We've still got a little place. I got a lot of relatives up in Marshall. Not all the way up in the northwest corner where you are, but yeah. Go ahead, man. Floor is yours.
Anyway, when you're talking about racism, stuff like that, I come from a family where we could have been racist. But my dad simply told us, he just made it a strong point. He said, when you get cut, you all bleed the same color. It doesn't matter. So he wouldn't tolerate it. And so we just grew up never really thinking about it. Although we had friends that were racist and all that kind of stuff. And we just like, this is nuts. But I went on to, go into ministry, and I kind of experienced some reverse racism from when I was in ministry and in Mexico and stuff like that, because I was an Anglo down there. And, although they liked my money, they didn't necessarily like me. And,
there it is.
And once I figured out I wasn't rich, and once I figured out how to speak their language, then that broke down all those barriers. But, it is,
well, That's an important piece of it right there, what you just said, learning how to speak the other person's language. That's a big part of what we train at Patriot Academy is it's out of honoring other people and respecting them, you do have to speak their language. You have to learn. I mean, you're speaking specifically Spanish in that case, but I'm talking about even just the cultural language and the stylistic language and all of those things in order to connect with people for sure. But you also said reverse racism. It's all racism. Whenever you judge somebody based on the color of their skin, it's all racism for sure. But Richard, God bless you, man. Thank you. Go Hogs, go. And appreciate you calling in. Let's head over to Kansas. Roy's calling in from Kansas. Roy, you're up next. Go ahead.
All righty. Hey, I want to make a comment about being married to a German woman for 40-something years, or 42 years. I think we need to change the way that we are talking about Black community, white community, this community, that community. And I know you alluded to it. I think we need to emphasize that all people are God's people.
Yeah,
because
amen.
God is the creator. When we start keep talking about, you know, the Black ones over there, the white ones over there, I think we are unknowingly still causing division because
yeah,
we are
amen.
Putting them in a category, and we don't understand that we have been created by God, and that everybody Jesus went to the cross and died for, they belong
neither Jew
to
nor
God.
Greek, right?
I understand we have different communities, all that, but the way that we emphasize it is we are still telling people, yep, I'm in a Black community. I'm in a white
community.
Well,
it's the same as the I'm African American or I'm Asian American or whatever. I remember giving a speech, Jaden, 30 years ago. No, wait, how long ago was 9/11? That'd be 23 years ago. After 9/11, saying, you know what, we just came together. We weren't hyphenated Americans anymore, right? Like what it does become. Remember David Barton used to talk about how the left loves to segregate us into these pockets where we identify with these traits, and it's the same thing with the sexual stuff, right? You're in these categories because of your sexual choices, but you know, immutable traits, it's the same way. Like, am I short American? Am I supposed to just identify as a short American because I'm, you know, 5'8"? I mean, I don't know. What do you say to that? Because it is ingrained in us.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the only things I claim is being a citizen of heaven and an American, you
Amen.
Know? So there's no African American. I ain't got nothing to do with Africa. I've never been there. I've never eaten African food. I don't know how to speak the language. I don't dress like that. Like, I have nothing to do with Africa.
That's good.
So I'm an American, bro, through and through.
I love it. So. I love it. That's good. Let's go to Darren in Texas. Darren, you're up next, man. Go ahead.
Hey, I just so encouraged by this message today and Jaden's just testimony and stepping out just warms my heart. I'm an evangelist. I'm with the Conference of Texas Baptist Evangelists, and I'm 54, and I'm the youngest among the evangelists in Texas of the group I work with, and it does my heart good. And Jaden, you keep going on campuses, man. I tell you, when we go to A&M different times, people, about 10 minutes, it's kind of a riot, and then people start listening, and they're like, I need to talk. I've never heard this before. I'm like, you've never heard this before. And they say, no, I've never heard this before. And with what you're talking about, where your rights come from and why I am pro-life. And one girl kept asking me, she said, no, so where does this come from? And I said, we have our rights from God. And anyway, they just kept saying they never heard it. But Jaden, stay with it, brother. Man, I'm encouraged by your program today. And hopefully you can raise up an army of new evangelists because we need them.
Amen,
bro. Yeah, Darren, I really appreciate, you know, especially hearing that you're an evangelist. We need more of that. You know, I really feel like the problems in our country are because there's not enough evangelism. You know, there's not enough people who have a heart towards God anymore. You know, ultimately, I think the true revival in America, what can save this country from our sin and from this tyranny that's happening with the government taking away our rights and stuff, is the gospel. I think that's the answer to everything. If everybody had a heart towards Jesus, we would love our neighbor. We wouldn't have to have these defense courses because we wouldn't have to defend ourselves against anybody because everybody would love Jesus, you know?
Well, John Adams said it's on, this Constitution only works for moral and religious people. Amen, Benjamin Rush said the only way you have a perpetuate a republic is if you teach the Bible. Teach the principles of the Bible.
Right. And another thing Darren said, he said that Texas A&M. I mean, this, you know, I think most people would say that, you know, that's in the South and that's you know, in the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
You've never heard this message before?
Wow. Yeah.
So I agree with Darren. I hear it all the time. Like, people understand, like, the actual gospel that can save you. And so, you know, Darren, keep up the good work as well. I really appreciate hearing from other evangelists, man. And that's very encouraging. So I really appreciate your exhortation.
Darren, I don't know if when you go to Texas A&M, if you run into what I do when I'm speaking around Texas, if I start to tell an Aggie joke, then, you know, sometimes a guy will raise his hand and say, hey, I'll have you know I'm an Aggie. And then I say, okay, then I'll slow down and I'll tell it twice. Darren, you already gone? Okay, anyway, my son is an Aggie, so I can get away with that. I'm an Aggie wannabe, Jared. Jaden, I was at UT, going to law school.
Uh-huh.
And Austin is obviously liberal, crazy, you know, pink hair, nose rings. That was culture shock for me because I came in from West Texas. And so I would spend every weekend at College Station. So I was an Aggie wannabe. All my friends went there. You know, it was much more to my speed of community. And I even thought I was going to get my master's there, and I figured I could skip law school Tuesdays and Thursdays and drive to College Station and work on my master's. But I wanted that Aggie ring so bad. So I make fun of Aggies out of jealousy. I wish I had my Aggie ring. My son has his. Does A&M play Auburn? Are they there?
They sometimes do. Yeah. I don't know if they're playing this year, though. Yeah. Maybe.
Well, Aggies need the Lord. Everybody out there needs the Lord. Right on, Jaden. This is the missing piece to the culture. We cannot just be political. It's both. It's Ezra and Nehemiah, right? You've got to have the rebuild, the physical rebuilding of the walls, the actual political work.
Right.
But then you got to have the spiritual foundation. Let's do our last couple of minutes talking about just what you see in your generation, because I think that's part of what my generation needs to hear and needs to know, that there are young people like you that have literally taken up the mission, the calling to spread the gospel and to influence the culture.
I honestly think Gen Z can save America, bro. I truly believe. Well, yeah, I get it. Gen Z, it's a bunch of idiots who scroll on TikTok all day. Yeah, that's true. You know, but ultimately,
but every generation's had its idiots.
But every generation every generation when they were younger, when they were the younger generation,
right.
The older generation said they're lost. This generation is, and it's like, you know,
they don't get up till 8 o'clock,
right? Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, it's true. Gen Z kind of sucks, but I do still believe that this generation can save America. And I tell you that this is why I say this, because a lot of these people are going to go into a world where they grew up their whole lives with their phones and all this technology. They're going into a world that is being left behind by, you know, the boomers and all that stuff. And it's just a lot, or millennials, I guess. And it's just not the same kind of rainbows and sunshine that it was like in this country, you know. I think most people would say that this country is going down the wrong path, and that we need to do something to fix it. Even the left agrees with that. And so I honestly believe, and this is a hot take, most conservatives disagree with me, but I actually believe pretty soon there's going to be a lot of unity in the Gen Z generation. I know that's like, I don't know. I think these are going to get so bad
that they're going to come together.
That we're going to come together. You know, whether you know America actually does end up, you know, I hope it does, you know, turn from our wicked ways and we trust in the Lord and stuff like that. I truly do believe Gen Z is going to be that kickstart that the Lord can use,
amen,
you know, as a vessel to really start kicking up some revivals across the country,
which we're seeing right now. Washington was 23 at the Battle of Monongahela. Nathan Hale, 21 when he gives his one life. I mean, you just go down the list. I mean, even Dietrich Bonhoeffer, our other committee room in there, 26 when he preaches that sermon in Germany. The youth absolutely have a role in this big time and lead the way. Jaden Hurd, you can listen to him at, wait, I just blanked on the show.
Let it be heard.
Let it be heard on Spotify and all the other apps out there. Jaden, thanks for joining me today, man.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks for listening today, folks. You've been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
Preborn celebrates that Roe v. Wade has been overturned. Roe has been responsible for the slaughter of over 63 million babies. Now the decision to abort a child will be left in the hands of the states, and sadly, abortions will continue in the most liberal states. Over the past 16 years, Preborn has positioned their clinics in the top abortion cities where 50% of abortions occur. Preborn's work of saving babies' lives continues at an even greater level as they save babies' lives and defend their centers from the radical hate groups who want to shut them down. Preborn's response is dependent on you, the pro-life community. Be a part of rescuing lives and changing hearts for Christ. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 will help to rescue five babies' lives. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com. All gifts are tax deductible.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.